How do you do? Blind obedience is an attribute that few of us practice these days, and with good reason. It's easy to be led astray by false ideas, as happened during World War II, when whole nations blindly went astray. The woman in this story lived in a place that practiced obedience to those in authority, something she understood when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Ah, it's snowing again.
I grew up on the east coast of Japan, and I had no idea the west coast was so cold. I am concerned that the children won't get enough vegetables.
We've been offered a way out, Amy.
The British ship?
Yes. The embassy is evacuating its citizens soon. We could be on that ship.
Except for your contract here at the college.
That's the problem, isn't it? I signed a contract to teach for a year, and we should honor our commitments.
Have you talked with the principal?
Just today. He says there's no reason to be concerned. The war is in Europe, not in Japan.
So he wants you to go on teaching?
Yes.
Most Japanese don't think the war will come here.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some people see the homeless and don't give them a second thought, thinking they prefer to live that way. But that can be far from the truth. Sometimes circumstances are beyond their control. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open 24/7, ready to welcome those without means. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission takes care of their physical needs with nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a clean, safe bunk for the night, even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic, all without charge to resident guests. Pastors and counselors introduce them to the one whose thoughts toward them are of peace and not of evil, to give them an expected end. Meeting him can change their lives forever. And that's what this program celebrates, going out to the world in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3209 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Percy, do you think now that we should have left Japan on the British ship?
Yes. The Americans will surely declare war on Japan after that surprise attack on Pearl Harbor.
It's all everyone talked about yesterday, everywhere I went.
Most people were shocked. No one expected Japan to attack the Americans.
What will happen to us?
I don't know. Neither of us has Japanese citizenship.
I am half Japanese, born here, so I won't be considered a foreigner.
But I'm South African, part of the Commonwealth.
We'll have to trust in God, Percy.
And I'll go on teaching here as long as they let me.
Percy, look. Those men are walking toward our house. Ten of them.
Oh, this is not good.
They're coming for us. I know they are.
The date was December 8th, 1941, the day after Pearl Harbor. And the couple in our story was living in Japan. This is the story of their survival, the true testimony of Amy Luke, right now on Unshackled.
Although mother was Japanese, she was a Christian like her mother before her. But her father was a drunkard who terrified the family, beating his wife when she came home from church. Mother's uncle paid for her to attend a Christian school until she was 17. Then her father developed cancer, and as the oldest of 8 children, mother went home to take care of her siblings. After her father died, mother supported the family by teaching in a mission school. When she was 20, she met a man from Wales.
I came to Japan for my health. I don't ever plan to leave. I love it here, Sune.
How do you support yourself, George?
I teach at the university.
I'm glad you don't drink.
Oh, not a chance. My father is a pastor in England. He wanted me to go into the ministry, but that isn't for me.
I hear that you're also an inventor.
Oh, yes. I'm devising shorthand for Japanese characters. Sune, I want to marry you. I've known ever since I laid my eyes on you.
It is useless to pursue me.
Why?
I'm not going to marry anyone. I want to spend my life working against the evil of strong drink because I saw what it did to my father.
I'll let you do that if you'll marry me.
I will need money and a lot of time.
I'll let you have both of those things.
At the time they married, the law didn't allow a Japanese person to marry a foreigner, but through a Japanese lawyer, Mother's name disappeared from local birth records and she was adopted by the British so they could register their marriage. My father kept his word and Mother did important work in the community. We spoke English at home and she wore Western clothes, never kimonos. I was born in Yamaguchi, the fifth of their six children. At night, Mother told us Bible stories.
Joseph's own brother sold him into slavery. Can you imagine that? They were jealous of him, but God allowed them to do that because he would make Joseph a great man in Egypt and save millions of people from famine. What is famine, Amy?
Starving.
Yes, what Joseph's brothers meant as evil, God used for good. So God always has a reason when his people seem to suffer affliction.
Mother, you tell us about God every night, but where is he?
He is right here with us. He is everywhere. By his power, everything exists. Now, go to sleep, children.
Mother was very strict in our upbringing. She sewed all our garments, but she didn't spoil us by making us a lot of clothes or buying a lot of toys. We never indulged in luxuries because she wanted us to think about people who were starving. One Christmas was particularly memorable.
This year, we are not going to have our usual feast with a Christmas tree or presents. This year, we will have a simple meal, and I want each of you children to bring some of your pocket money and put it on a plate on the table as your gift to those who have nothing this Christmas.
When I was six, we moved to Tokyo, where my father taught in a big university. At school, I was sometimes very naughty, neglecting my homework. Once I left my copybook at home, so I secretly stole the copybook of a slow-witted boy and smeared his name on the cover, pretending it was mine. My theft was discovered, and when I got home, Mother sent me to my room to pray. I was sorry I was discovered, not for the act. My father had opened a large cave in western Japan that brought many tourists and wealth to my country, but while I was still very young, he had a nervous breakdown and became unreasonable and harsh. If we were late to the table, we had to stand in the corner for 5 minutes. If we spilled anything on the tablecloth, we had to pay a fine. One time, my brother dared to speak back to Father.
How dare you talk back to me? Get out of the house now!
Later, I crept out to the garden and gave my brother some sandwiches. I always wonder why Mother never intervened when Father was so irrational. Some years later, I asked, and her answer surprised me.
Amy, sometimes God seems to make unreasonable demands on his children. If a child cannot learn to obey a stern parent, how will he ever learn to obey God?
My father wasn't alone in being severe. Mother was also unbending in her beliefs. One day, I came home to find a very poor woman with Mother.
Amy, this is my cousin's widow. She has several children, and one of them is your age and has nothing warm to wear. You are going to give her your coat.
I am not going to give it to her. I can still wear it.
That is why you are going to give it. If you give something you don't need, there is no value to your gift. And you have another coat anyway.
I had no choice, but I never forgot that lesson Mother taught me. Father played the organ beautifully and wanted me to take organ lessons, but I longed to play the piano. We lived in the hills above Tokyo, and in the fall, a terrible earthquake devastated Tokyo and Yokohama. Night after night, we watched the city burn.
This is terrible.
At least our house didn't burn.
It's so badly damaged. We can't live in it.
The tents are adequate, George. We can stay out here until the house is fixed.
I like living outside in a tent. I'm going to put a heater in mine so I can live out here in the winter. I may never move back in the house.
True to his word, my father spent his nights in the tent for 3 or 4 years. My organ teacher was killed in the earthquake, so father relented and I took piano lessons. Before long, I myself was teaching others to play the piano. About that time, my father began to experience a deep sense of his sin, a conviction that he was guilty before a holy God. We learn of this as a great change came over him. Never in his life had he drunk or smoked, and I never heard him swear. But he became gentle and loving, no longer harsh.
Amy, come into my study.
Yes, Father.
Do you know how the Lord changed me?
No, Father.
One night, in my tent, I came to see that the original cross was made of wood and covered with filth, the filth of my sins. And when I realized that God had forgiven me because of the blood of Christ, the tent became bright, and I was filled with joy. I wanted to run inside and tell your mother, but it was midnight and everyone was asleep.
I can see that you're different, Father.
Amy, if Christ died for me, he also died for you. Why don't you repent of your sins and give your heart to the Lord?
Yes, Amy, your father told me how he was saved.
I did what he suggested, Mother. I repent of my sins and ask Jesus to save me.
That's wonderful, Amy. Have I ever told you how my father was converted before he died?
No.
He was a terrible drunkard. Dragged my mother around by the hair when she came in from church. But when his young son, my little brother, lay dying in my arms of diphtheria, my brother suddenly looked up and said, "Oh, look, Daddy, there's Jesus. Heaven is beautiful." My little brother closed his eyes and died. And my father professed faith in Jesus right then and there.
So that's why you devoted your life to fighting the evil of drinking.
Yes. The Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise."
I was 20 years old when Mother suggested I go to America as a nanny to an American couple who was returning home. I didn't want to go, but Mother said it would be good for me. So I went to New Jersey, and it was one of the worst years of my life. I sought the Lord for comfort because I knew he had a purpose.
Very shortly, we'll hear more about what God had in store for Amy. We love to get letters from our listeners, many through email from around the world. Feedback delights us, like this message. "The Lord has been powerfully speaking to me through your radio program. He actually has been guiding, leading, and informing me, giving me the answers that I so needed for my difficulties." From Peru, a woman writes, "I've been a victim of domestic violence, and my living conditions are horrible. Your radio program has been a big blessing to me." A pastor in South Africa writes, "I listened to your program one night, and I was so encouraged with the stories. They made me a stronger person." This listener writes, "Your program really makes me think about my life." We'd love to hear from you, too. Our postal address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
My employer in America was very stingy and didn't even buy enough food, so I was hungry all the time. While talking with other nannies in the park, I learned that my pay was the lowest of all, half what the other nannies earned. So after a friend told me about a Christian fellowship in New York, I went there by train once a week on my free afternoon. They gave me a wonderful meal, and I attended a good Bible study. The following June, I eagerly went back to Japan, where I spent the summer relaxing at home.
Amy, are you saving money for college?
As much as I can, Father.
We agreed to supply your meals at home, but you are to keep yourself in every other way, since you are now 22.
I could use a few more piano students.
There's a wonderful job for you downtown, one that will keep you busy 5.5 days a week. You can save your money, and you'll be able to go to Bible college in America. You had better take that job.
Mother, I've given my life to God to serve him, and I am sure he doesn't want me to spend my life just earning money. I'm sure he will send me some pupils. Every day I pray for pupils, but none came. Growing tired of my unanswered prayer, I asked the Lord to show me what was wrong with me. I opened my Bible and read Matthew chapter 6. When my eyes fell on verse 33, I had my answer. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I saw that I had been concentrating on my needs instead of God's purposes for my life. So I promised him that I would seek his glory and not ask for material things. Unknown to me at the time, Percy, the man I would marry, was making the same commitment in South Africa. But then on we both applied God's word in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Percy came to Tokyo that September, called by God as a missionary to Japan. We met at the evangelistic band in which I served. We liked each other, and 2 years later, our friendship deepened and led to marriage. God gave us a daughter 3 years into our marriage. My health was not a good in those early years of marriage.
Amy, my first furlough is coming up. Do you feel up to making a trip to South Africa?
Yes, of course. I need to meet your family.
And my parents want to meet you and little Connie. She's their first granddaughter.
They'll love her.
And you'll love my mother.
We'll visit your supporting churches, too?
Oh, yes.
I'm well enough to travel, Percy. A woman who had supported Percy as a missionary met us on arrival and took us to the train station for the trip to Johannesburg. South Africa impressed me, and so did Percy's mother. She had been deaf for many years, but was very loving to everyone, especially to Connie and me. Several months passed as Percy spoke at supporting churches. Meanwhile, I was expecting our second baby, but I had increasing difficulty with my vision, so I went to see an eye specialist.
Hello?
Percy, the doctor wants me to go immediately to the hospital for some tests and x-rays.
I'll take you there. Mother can look after Connie.
But you have to prepare a sermon.
The Lord has already given me the words to say.
10 days after I had the tests and x-rays, we again saw the eye specialist.
Mrs. Luke, how long have you had difficulty seeing with your right eye?
Perhaps a month.
You have a pituitary tumor growing deep in your brain, pressing on the optic nerve. This is causing the loss of field vision.
A tumor?
It's not uncommon. Most pituitary tumors are benign, but yours is dangerous to your vision.
Is there nothing we can do?
You're pregnant, yes?
Yes, 5 months.
It complicates your situation.
Well, how so, Doctor?
The only way to save your sight is to remove the baby.
Remove the baby? But it could not live. Born so prematurely.
I consulted the leading gynecologist here, and he said you must choose between preserving your sight or preserving the unborn baby.
Then I will have my baby.
Doctor, can't someone operate to remove the tumor?
The pituitary gland lies deep in the brain. There is only one doctor that I know of who is capable of such delicate surgery, and he is in Canada.
We can't get to Canada. A trip like that from South Africa is beyond our means.
Then I'm afraid your wife will go blind.
Lord, I pray that you will preserve